Hello and welcome to Virtus Voices. This is Joe Terranova, Senior Managing Director and Chief Market Strategist for Virtus Investment Partners. Today I am joined by David Albright, President and Chief Investment Officer of New Fleet Asset Management. Dave is also the Senior Portfolio Manager of several multi-sector fixed income strategies and responsible for driving top-down strategy for New Fleet's investment platform. Dave, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Dave, I'd like to begin talking about the difference between what was a very heightened sense of urgency in the way the fixed income market was pricing in March and the relaxation that we're witnessing now here as we come towards the end of the second quarter. Please offer some observations, if you could, as to why we've seen such a dramatic relaxation.
Sure, Joe. The market stresses have eased substantially since the low point on March 23rd for four primary reasons. First, the unprecedented policy response from both central bankers and politicians around the globe due to the slowing of the global economy, and also its recovery. Next, the virus has improved since March. Social distancing, stay-at-home orders have largely been successful, improving the rate of hospitalizations and fatalities. Increased testing continues to result in total cases that are rising. However, overall growth rates continue to improve in most parts of the country. In addition, as time progresses, we are learning more about the virus, how to treat patients, and numerous vaccines are under development. We are optimistic about these efforts that they will be successful given the collective brain power working on the problem. Expect periods of volatility, but expect overall positive outcomes. Third reason, rebound in valuations. The market has improved substantially and proved to be an attractive entry point for long-term investors in the fixed income market. And lastly, the fourth reason, market stresses have continued to ease due to improved economic data that has significantly beat expectations in a number of cases. Most recently, retail sales and the non-farm payroll. Positive technicals, cash still on the sidelines, huge increase of cash since February, leaves huge untapped potential to boost growth in the second half of the year.
So, David, we've witnessed what I would define as the infinite Federal Reserve, several points of action to provide lending to the economy. Globally, we've seen the support of central banks. Offer, if you could, your observations on these actions and your expectation if more needs to be done domestically and globally from central banks, they'll be able to efficiently enact further measures.
Yeah, the Federal Reserve and other global central banks had little choice but to step in, Joe. They needed to support the financial system given the public health policies imposed to contain the virus. The government imposed frozen economies that resulted in the worst recession that we've seen going all the way back to the global financial crisis of 2008. To date, policies have been successful in restoring the market, not only confidence, but liquidity. If you look at investment-grade corporates, the market is reopened. Record issuance at first at concessions, primarily high-quality single-A industrials, but now we have over 60% of issuance coming out of the triple-B space. Issuance has been massive. On a gross basis, right now we exceed the entire year's issuance in 2019. At about $1.2 trillion. Flows are extremely strong. Last week, we saw $10 billion of inflows. Year-to-date, now flows are positive, driven by foreigners, insurance companies, and crossover buyers like myself. However, the overall yield in the investment-grade market now is at an all-time low, surpassing that of 220 on back on March 20th. We're now at 217. We have Fed supporting the fallen angels, which are now about $150 billion in size, Ford, Oxy, Kraft Heinz, Delta, QVC, to mention a few. The market was down 10, now it's up actually 5%. We've moved over into the high-yield market. Issuance is open there also. Issuance was much different to start. 80% was 5 years or less, now typically that's 20%. 60% was secured, typically that's less than 15%, and 70% to build liquidity, and typically it's all used for refinancing. We've seen the highest issuance going all the way back to July of 2015, April at $25 billion. Initially, it was the double-B companies like Tenet, Yum, MGM, Levi's, Wynn, and LifePoint. Now we're seeing single B companies able to access the market. High yield was down 20, now it's down 2.3%. Obviously, defaults are a concern. Defaults have risen to 4.85%, but both Moody's and S&P, due to the fiscal and monetary response, have dramatically lowered their estimates. Again, flows here are huge, $41 billion in the last 10 weeks. Year to date, in the high yield market, now $32 billion of positive flows. Bank loans are even seeing issuance open up. First, there was liquidity rescue deals. Landry's Golden Nugget, Surgery Centers, Revlon, Delta, to mention a few. Now we're seeing non-rescue deals. T-Mobile, Sprint, Conn Service, Nielsen, TK Elevator, Eldorado, to mention a few. Defaults at 3.3 are predicted to get somewhere in the 4 to 6% range. Again, dramatically lower than Moody's and S&P first estimated. And now we're starting to see that move into the EM debt market. EM, we came into the year underweight foreign markets, underweight below investment grade. We actually had virtually no local currency, and we had dollar-denominated assets, which is what we favored. Now we're starting to see a switch where valuations here are becoming very attractive. First, the rally was an investment-grade EM. Now it's in high yield, just to mention a few. And lastly, the structured market is also catching a bid. So it's worked. Government-mandated shutdowns obviously entail when you need monetary and fiscal stimulus, and it becomes much more politically acceptable.
So as we make the turn towards the second half of the year, how are you and the team thinking about opportunities that might present themselves as we move towards the end of 2020?
So our look at the market is still very positive. Obviously, there's uncertainty given the nature of the virus, but valuations relative to long-term averages continue to suggest that the prospect for future returns for multi-sector investors are very, very good. We would expect active managers to have an advantage given the fluid nature of the valuations, the ability to pick sectors and securities. You know, do you want to be in the ag now with a six-year duration yielding 130? Credit selection has never been more important. Obviously, going through the industries that have been affected, like lodging, leisure, restaurants, tourism, airlines, retail, and gaming, and then picking your spots. Also, energy starting to recover. So I definitely would emphasize active versus passive. Credit, it's a credit picker's market, and credit selection is very, very important. We re-underwrote a lot of our credits, looking at their liquidity runways, management teams, balance sheets, and then we obviously sold those we didn't like, and we're keeping those that we still like. But the outlook for total return in fixed income is very positive for the remainder of the year.
Dave, I want to thank you for your time and contribution to Virtus Voices. And for all the listeners, I want to thank you and encourage all of you to visit Virtus.com for more information and further thought leadership.
Thanks, Joe.